Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. We're digging into week 7 of the CMI League. And if you followed it, you know this wasn't just another week.
Not at all.
Definitely not.
We're calling it the week of fireworks and heartbreak. And looking at our sources, you know, the stats notes and the narrative recap, which is always pretty colorful.
Yeah.
Our job today is, well, to unpack how all these wild results basically blew up the middle of the standing.
That's right. And the sources, they really highlight this. Highest scoring week of the season, bar none. But also some serious paradoxes baked in there.
Like what?
Well, first, you've got that razor-thin, like, 0.5-point finish, just mathematically improbable, almost. Mm-hmm. And then the recap mentions this sort of trade dispute that may or may not have violated the Geneva Conventions.
Okay, wait, what? The Geneva Conventions? Seriously?
That's what the recap says. Uh-huh. Just casually dropped in there amidst all the Week 7 chaos. It's a lot.
That definitely sets a tone, doesn't it? It feeds right into this theme the sources picked up on. The blood moon of mediocrity.
Exactly. Half the league, half. Now stuck at 4-3. It's this this swirling mess in the middle.
A pressurized soup, I think one source called it, where managers are teetering on the edge of insanity.
Yeah. Week 7 wasn't about sorting things out. It was about cranking up the pressure. Big time.
Okay, so let's start with the fireworks then. The big scores. Because, wow, looking at the raw numbers, some teams just went off. Like playoff-level scoring in Week 7.
Oh, yeah. The biggest bang, no question, ragtag misfits. They dropped a monster, 168.0 points. That's their best week all year.
168, whoa.
And the notes suggest this wasn't just pure luck either. They were heavily favored in the matchup projection, so it seems like they targeted this. They executed a plan.
Okay, but 168, I mean, is that sustainable? Was this a one-off explosion, or have the Misfits genuinely turned a corner?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? But look how they got there. It's kind of scary for everyone else. A trio just detonated. Devonta Smith with 36.5, Ja'Marr Chase 36.0, and JSN Jackson Smith and Jigba put up 28.0.
Wow.
Three guys, over 100 points combined from your skill spots. That's not just luck. That's depth playing out perfectly. And boom, they jumped to fourth place, 4-3 record.
And the flip side, the heartbreak part, is Fred Durst. The recap frames this perfectly. They lost, putting up 11.5, which isn't terrible.
Yeah, not at all.
But Mahomes gave them 26.0. Jonathan Taylor, a massive 32.5. That's nearly 60 points from just two players.
60 points.
And the rest of the roster apparently just ghosted him, as the recap says. Losing by 56 points when your top two guys deliver like that, that's just crushing psychologically.
It really is. But then you swing to another side of the high-scoring madness, the halftime hummers. They snapped a two-game losing streak with a huge 157.0-point win. The sources called it a fantasy fever dream.
Fever dream fueled by two guys just going absolutely nuclear. Jahmyr Gibbs, 42.5 points.
42.5.
And Bo Nix, 40.0 points. I mean, come on. When you get that from two players, and then Davante Adams chips in another 24.5, yeah, you've hit the jackpot. That win gives them some serious breathing room.
But then the contrast. Oh, the contrast is painful. Ertz vents, IP.
Oh, man.
You see Christian McCaffrey dropping 40.5 points for them.
40.5, just heroic.
Absolutely heroic. That kind of effort, you feel like it deserves a win, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a small parade, but nope. They still lose 136.5 to 157.0.
Just brutal. Statistically, that's got to be one of the toughest beats of the season. And the sources, they point fingers, don't they?
They do. The narrative recap specifically calls out T. Higgins and the Detroit DST for leaving the manager basically holding the bag. CMC did his part, but he can't overcome that many zeros.
No, you need the whole team. We also saw Hamstroker's Ejaculate getting a nice win, 146.0. That's two in a row for them.
Yep, solid performance. Justin Herbert led that one with 37.0, and they got good support from Addison, 21.5, and Rashee Rice, 20.5. That kind of consistent floor from multiple guys, that's how you win consistently.
Right, that balance. Meanwhile, Homer's Gyros, they're now on a two-game slide. CeeDee Lamb gave them 27.5, Trey McBride, 24.0. Solid scores.
Good scores, yeah, but just not enough firepower to keep up this week. They couldn't match Hamstroker's depth.
Okay, so we've seen the absolute ceiling teams hitting 150, 160, almost 170 points. Crazy numbers. But now let's shift gears. Let's go down to the other end of the spectrum.
The floor.
Exactly. Because while some teams were lighting up scoreboards, you had the unluckies showing that sometimes just barely scraping by, winning ugly, that's what matters most.
Well, this game was something else. The unluckies versus the Jackalope Society. It was the tightest finish of the week, maybe the season so far, and definitely the ugliest. Final score, 101.5 to 101.0.
Half a point.
Half a point difference. The source material, the recap, literally said this matchup was so ugly it should have been played behind a curtain, and barely cracking 100 points for the win.
Yeah. I'm just fascinated by how it ended like that. The unluckies got just enough, right? Josh Jacobs with 18.5. The Bears D put up 16.0. Just barely enough.
Just enough is right. But the real story, the agony, is all on the Jackalope Society side. They got a monster game from A.J. Brown, 32.0 points.
That should be a game winner.
You'd think so. That's an anchor performance.
Yeah.
But what absolutely sunk them, the thing that cost them that crucial half point, their DST finished with minus 2 points. Negative two.
Ouch. Minus two.
That negative score was the literal difference maker. The recap said the team felt violated by math. Can't blame them, honestly.
No kidding. Losing by 0.5 because your defense actively cost you points. That's the kind of loss that sticks with you. That could define their season.
Absolutely. And while all that low-scoring drama was happening, you had find yourself a CD just quietly taking care of business at the top.
Right. They cemented their spot. Beat the Jesting Johnsons. How'd they do it?
With balance. That's the key word from the sources for them. 137.5 points. No single crazy 40-point outlier like some other teams needed.
Just solid production across the board.
Exactly. Quinshon Judkins, 27.0. Jahndre Swift, 25.5. Jamal Williams, 23.5. You get that kind of contribution from multiple players, it makes you really resilient. Hard to beat week to week.
And that consistency got them the win over the Jesting Johnsons, who took their first loss, dropping them to 4-3. But, and this is a big but,
yeah,
the Johnsons still lead the entire league in total points scored. 903.0 points for their point scoring machines who just ran into a solid opponent this week.
That's a really important point. That huge PF total suggests they have serious underlying roster strength.
Yeah.
Massive comeback potential there, even sitting at 4-3.
Definitely something to watch.
Okay, so let's pull back and look at the standings now. Connect these results. Week 7 really did scramble things, didn't it?
It sure did.
At the very top, it's now pretty clear. Two teams sitting at 5-2. You got find yourself a CD coming off that balance win we just talked about.
Chubby one streak for them.
Right. And then the unluckies, despite barely winning that that ugly 0.5-point game.
Yeah.
They're actually on a 4-game winning streak now, W4.
Yeah.
Somehow finding ways to win.
Four straight wins, even ugly ones, that builds momentum. But okay, below them, that's where it gets wild. That swirling soup of 4-3 teams.
Yes. The pressure cooker. Four teams now jammed together at 4-3. You've got the Jesting Johnsons, ragtag misfits after their explosion, Fred Durst despite the tough loss, and Homer's Gyros.
Four teams, same record. That middle tier is just incredibly dense. One loss, one bad week.
And you could plummet. Every single week feels like a must-win for that group now. It means even the less spectacular wins feel really significant.
Like R.I.P. D'Angelo.
Exactly. They got to win. 112.2 points. Wasn't flashy, you know. Yeah. Stafford with 28.0. Josh Allen, 27.5. Jaylen Warren, 22.0. Methodical. But that win lifts them to 3-4.
Getting out of that two-win basement, psychologically huge.
Huge. Contrast that with a Janty man and a scholar.
Mm-hmm.
Still struggling. They dropped to 2-5 in their total points, 738.5 PF. It's among the lowest in the league. They just aren't finding ways to score consistently.
Right. That lack of firepower is killing them.
And speaking of struggles and things killing teams, before we leave this tier, we have to touch on that trade dispute again, the one you mentioned.
The alleged Geneva Conventions violation. Yeah. Okay. What's the impact there?
Well, the sources say the dispute itself got resolved through arbitration. No major penalties handed out, like docking picks or anything. Mm. But the word is the whole process, the drama, it absolutely tanked team morale for at least one of the teams involved.
Ah, okay. So the fallout isn't necessarily in the standings points, but in the team's headspace.
Precisely. That internal turmoil, it has a cost. And it seems like the Jackalope Society might have caught the worst of that emotional fallout.
Makes sense, especially after that loss.
Yeah, they're now 2-5, down in 12th place, on a 4-game losing streak after that gut-wrenching 0.5-point defeat. The narrative recap, it actually noted their management has filed a formal complaint with God.
Chuckle slightly. Well, you can understand the sentiment, I guess.
Right. Feels appropriate after the week they had. Just crushed by like a combination of league politics, bad defense luck, and basic arithmetic.
Wow. What a week. Okay, let's try and wrap our heads around this. We saw players go nuclear, Gibbs and Knicks, with 40-plus points each.
Unbelievable scoring.
We saw maybe the cruelest loss possible, that half-point defeat thanks to a negative defense score.
That's brutal.
And the result of all this, utter chaos in the middle of the pack. That 4-3 logjam is intense. If you're managing one of those teams right now, the stress must be immense.
For sure. And, you know, it brings us back to maybe the most interesting takeaway from digging into the sources this week. Think about the extremes we saw.
Yeah.
You had the Misfits putting up 168 points, an absolute explosion. And then you had the Unluckies winning with just 101.5, barely triple digits.
Yeah.
The full spectrum of performance on display.
Right, the blowout versus the squeaker, volume versus precision, maybe.
Exactly. And that leads to the big question for you, the listener, to chew on. Look at the Jesting Johnsons. They lead the entire league in points scored 903 points over PF, but they're sitting at 4-3.
Okay.
Now look at the Unluckies. Way fewer points scored, 847 points over PS, so over 50 points less, but they're 5-2, higher in the standings.
Huh. Big difference there.
Massive difference. So what does that tell you? What does this huge gap between piling up points versus actually winning matchups tell you about, say, the role of luck versus consistency?
Right.
Or the value of the ugly win just scoring enough compared to maybe being inconsistently explosive, especially now that we're halfway through the season. What really stands out to you when you see that points versus record discrepancy? Something to think about.
Definitely something to think about. We'll see how it plays out next week. Thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive.